Well, the world is a dumpster fire, and nothing here makes sense. And you vacillate between crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right and nothing's good, and you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to Coffee Over Suicide, the dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. I'm your host, Chris Parker Howard. And today on the show, we have got author, life coach, public speaker, blogger, YouTube video creator guy, and founder of Be Higher Beings, which is also a podcast that you can find wherever great podcasts are found. Neil First is on the show today. And if you read my description of the episode, then you know that something is going to go down at some point in this episode. So I wanted to start this episode by kind of bringing up the elephant in the room and starting with something that will become probably apparent as we listen to the episode. Now, sometimes I have guests on and we have some pretty fundamental disagreements about some things. Usually we steer clear of those subjects. And sometimes if I have a disagreement with somebody or they believe something I don't believe, if I don't think it's dangerous or super problematic, I'm not going to say anything about it because that's not why I'm here. That's not what I'm trying to do with this show. With this show, the emphasis isn't about me being right or sitting here like some sort of authority in judgment. I'm just a guy who's listening, and I'm lucky enough to gather a conversation with someone who has an idea or a point of view. And sometimes those ideas and point of views are different from my own, and that's okay. Because we have to be able to talk to people who believe things that are not the same as what we believe. How else do you grow? How else do you gain new information if you don't listen to new information? But every once in a while, you bump up against something, and you have a choice for how you're going to respond. And the choice is, you can be complicit in what someone is saying with silence, which I think I initially choose to do, or you can speak up and you can choose to do that respectfully, or you can choose to be, real problematic about it and shut down the conversation, kill the conversation dead in the water, because it's about being right, not about challenging information you believe is dangerous. But if I'm laying a little bit of bedwork to have empathy for a person who has a different opinion than you, even if you think that opinion might be dangerous, let me ask you a hypothetical question. If, let's say, you are a person who is told by medical science that you are an organ shutdown and you've got weeks to live, and that this can't be reversed. Now, let's say that you do reverse this, and you reverse it through your own will as a human being. You make changes, you behave differently, you eat differently, you make choices you've never made before, and through your own effort and care, you beat back death. And so you now have a skepticism of medical science, but you also have a very high belief that human beings are capable of just about anything if they work hard enough or if they believe hard enough. In fact, you're willing to put yourself in situations where people are known to get sick because you don't believe that it could happen to you. You don't believe it because you've seen something different. And you're willing to bet that even though you're not an expert on these things, you're willing to bet the lives of the people you care about on the fact that you're right. That's tough. That's really tough. See, because I don't think that Neil thinks he's betting the lives of the people he cares about. I don't think he would hold the belief that he does if he believed that it was rolling the dice on the lives of the people he cares about. My parents are in their 70s, and they were in a campground in northern Michigan. And they were open for their 4th of July festivities. And my mom is talking about how they're social distancing. They've got to do things differently. Everybody's wearing masks. They're wearing their masks everywhere they go. But I look at her Facebook page, and that's not true at all. I see large groups of people, not a mask in sight anywhere. I see my parents hugging people, family and friends, all sorts of big gatherings. No masks anywhere. In fact, I see a bunch of anti-mask stuff on my mom's Facebook page. She's starting to slip into conspiracy theories. She's getting her news from Facebook memes, not the news. And I'm watching as she's engaging with the people she knows on her Facebook page. And they're sharing their fun little masks are a conspiracy theory about control memes all over each other's Facebook walls. She's talking about how she doesn't trust the governor. She's just wildly opposed to wearing a mask because it's all fake. She doesn't think the virus is as bad as it is. They live kind of in the middle of nowhere. They don't see it. It must not be happening. She's not watching the news. She's not reading a newspaper. People are telling her that stuff is happening, but she doesn't see it. And they have this big gathering. Like family and friends can't get the virus. Like the people at their campground can't get the virus. Like they can't get it and spread it to people in their campground. And if they just clean the bathrooms extra hard, everything's going to be fine. Or they could get sick and die. Because somebody who didn't know any better shared some bullshit that felt right. and got my mom believing that dumb shit too. Because they're not an expert, but they got a feeling. So because I'm the host of this show, and essentially I'm signing off on the ideas and the people that I'm presenting to you, I actually thought it was necessary for me to say that while this is an area where we disagreed, and when you hear that part of the conversation in the podcast, I think it's valuable because it shows how two people can disagree on something so hard and still have a conversation about it. But it's also in direct contrast to all of the other things that we agree on or ideas that we could share with each other and take something away. People are certainly complicated. So while I can't sign off on all of the ideas presented, I can sign off on the very concept of listening to different ideas and really thinking about them. So that said, let's listen to this conversation with Neil first. Interesting. The current situation that we're living in with the virus that's going around doing its thing. It's a very interesting situation, and it's causing me to find out some things about myself that I had not been paying attention to. I had not been paying attention to some areas where I was unhappy, because it was pretty easy for me to distract myself from that unhappiness and from that being unfulfilled with all of the myriad of distractions that come from going out to dinner, going to the movies, meeting up with friends. Things like that. Now, those things are all good in and of themselves, unless you're using them to escape from things that you should be focusing on. So that's kind of...
There's a should be.
Yeah.
There's a should be that you threw in that doesn't necessarily need to be there.
Okay. I like that.
that's one of the things is that... you know, we tell ourselves we should be doing all these things. Well, who the hell's telling you that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when, and it's cool that as the pandemic hit and it kind of forced you to look inward. I think that's a huge deal right now, because there's, It helped a whole lot of people look inward. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're that anxiety is down or addictions are down and stuff like that. But it has forced a lot of people to look inward. But it's also brought forth a lot of addiction. Alcohol sales are way up.
Yeah.
Pharmaceuticals. You're right. I mean, it's a weird, weird time. We've all seen the movie to this too.
Yeah.
And it's we've seen a lot of movies that can kind of relate to this stuff. And it's almost like life imitating art at this point. It's funny. I watched V for Vendetta the other day. Never seen the movie. But that was a, if you've never seen it, it's about a kind of what's going on right now. It's actually set in 2020, And it, they're talking about a virus that that may or may not be around, but there's curfews, there's just the whole socialist type regime, and it's all saying it's for your safety, it's for your safety. Like the curfews are for your safety, all of these rules that are set in place is for your safety, and it's all this big bullshit machine that that there's one guy just trying to topple. And the movie was made in 05. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm familiar with the graphic novel, too. I grew up with that kind of stuff.
Okay. So, and that's like, and it, you're, like I was saying, it's just, there's so much information about, actually, like, what's going on outside. In a lot of, like, if did you ever watch 12 Monkeys?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so Fight Club, The Matrix. Like, if you see some of these movies, if you watch some of these movies, watch them again, and you'll see kind of like a correlation, they're relevant.
Yeah,
they're 20-year-old movies that are very, very relevant today. But anyway, I'm going to go back to, the looking inward part.
Yeah.
What have you found that you've been distracting yourself? Like, what have you discovered? Cause I noticed when people start discovering stuff about themselves, it gives permission for other people to discover things about themselves.
Yeah.
So as you're talking about, if you haven't talked about this before, or even if you have, but everybody who's listening, when you start discovering, wow, I was putting my energy towards, this nonsense or whatever it is in your life, and I realized that I was putting my energy towards, towards that, the half of my energy towards that thing. And I really could have just been keeping that for myself and putting it towards, maybe it's my podcasting, maybe it's, maybe it's a different career goal. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's for myself, taking that energy that we put towards that thing that makes us unhappy. Like what have you found that, finding those things that made you, I guess, unhappy.
Yeah.
What did you find?
It's
putting your, like, where you could put your energy. Go ahead.
It's pretty interesting, actually, because I think I've kind of talked around it on the show before, but not really ever addressing it head on, because it was something that was kind of elusive. There were all of these systems that I had put in place that I hadn't necessarily realized I had. And it kind of goes back even farther. So I was diagnosed bipolar manic depressive at a very young age. I went through the whole route of seeing therapists, taking medication, things like that. And I came to a place where I wanted to be able to manage all of my various, let's say, imbalances, if you will, without the help of medication, just, to get to know myself and to know when my brain starts acting like this, I'm in a mania and this is how I should probably respond. I wanted to know what it felt like and how to get myself through it so that if I ever found myself in a situation where I had to, I could manage myself. And I did that for about 15 years. And then I hit a particularly rough patch of depression just a couple years ago. And I said, enough is enough. I think it's time to check back in and maybe see if some medication would be in order. And I started taking an antidepressant. And it kind of lifted me above the clouds a little bit. And that was what I needed. And then I reached a point where it was either up the dosage or take yourself back off. And I took myself back off. And what I realized, because shortly after that, I moved. And right after moving, I was locked down. So here we are. But the thing that I learned, having kind of isolated and had all this time to reflect, all this time to think, is that the thing I was really distracting myself from is that I haven't been dealing with the roots of my depression. I haven't been dealing with finding ways to bring myself up and out. I've been finding ways to distract myself from being depressed. And what I should have been doing was figuring out, or let's say could have, I like that better. What I could have been doing is discovering what is it that's still triggering these things, because there's a part of it that's just wiring. Some of it is wiring and you can rewire. But some of it is, chemicals and things like that, that I don't necessarily have complete control over, but I do have control over my responses. You know what I'm saying?
Did you know that all of that is a chemical, is a chemical reaction? See, this is, and science is great. I love science. I think, we've come so far. But right now, science seems very, very plastic. Very, very, they're just calling anything science and then putting it on the news. And it's weird. But scientifically, they call it chemical imbalance. They say that, when they're trying to sell you pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, they say that you have a chemical imbalance and stuff. Your thought is a chemical. Right? But what you create in your mind is created by a chemical. Your emotions are chemicals. Your depression is a chemical. Anxiety is a chemical. Fear is a chemical. And at the same time, love is a chemical. Gratitude is a chemical. Joy is a chemical.
Yeah.
And those chemicals, we talk about chemical imbalances and stuff, and then we're trying to fix, people in white coats are trying to fix chemical imbalances with these little pills that they spend billions of dollars making, testing on monkeys and shit. Your body, my body, everybody's body right now is having 100,000 chemical reactions in each one of our 50 to 100 trillion cells. Now, your calculator is probably not even going to be able to do the math on that. 100,000 chemical reactions every second in 100 trillion cells. This is how complex the human body is. And the pharmaceutical industry thinks that they're going to fix it, right? Or we think that, or what they're selling masks right now. They think masks are going to protect you. I want the thing that's beating my heart to protect me from these viruses and all this other stuff. But that the thoughts that we have, the depression, that's just following that same pattern, right? It's following that same pattern. Here's, you want to know what anxiety really is? Anxiety is, I feel this way and I don't want to feel this way. It's just those two emotions. I feel a certain way and I don't want to feel this way. So the mind is constantly looking for a way for you to not feel that way.
Yeah.
And that's what anxiety is. Now you're looking for a solution. You're looking for a distraction. Let me turn on the TV. Let me go to the fridge. Let me go to the bar. Let me go grab a pack of cigarettes. Let me go call my doctor because I don't know why I feel this way.
Yeah.
Right. So when are you still off of the medication?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right. So what now? Sitting. When you have that emotion or whatever that makes you feel depressed, that makes you feel sad, it makes you feel angry, Okay. The anxiety part of it is I don't want to feel that way. So we're going to keep constantly trying to figure out a way to put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Yeah.
The actual emotions that that show up, you're programmed to do that. You're programmed to not want to feel that thing. Now, the actual emotions that show up, when you're looking inward, what happens is you start to actually feel those, right? When you're actually feeling those, it's writing it's putting things kind of back in order without all the chaos, right? So if you have, I'm a big meditator. I've been meditating for 3 hours a day since this whole thing started, almost every day. There's a couple times I went camping and stuff like that. But anyway, but meditation, like when I sit there, and if my thought is a chemical, and let's just say I have a diagnosis, you have a chemical imbalance, you need this Prozac or you need whatever it is.
Yeah.
When I'm meditating, I don't have any input coming in to make new chemicals. Does that make sense? I'm not watching CNN tell me I'm going to die if I go outside. I'm not watching a politician try and promise me a life they can never possibly deliver. I'm not creating more chemicals of how to figure this out. That's the ego. I call it the bullshit machine.
Okay, right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that so makes sense.
Okay, so if you're sitting in silence, think of it as almost like a reset. Okay, think about your bathtub. Bathtub is just filled with water, but it's just very still water. Right? That's meditating. Now, when you turn on the TV, take your hand and then just splash the water around. That's like watching TV. That's like your brain watching TV. It's trying to figure out and sort and file everything. So when using meditation is like your sorting and filing part. It's like it's just figuring out all the bullshit that we've inputted in ourselves, right? So the chemicals that you're making, right, the thoughts that you're having, when you start to realize that there's no trigger to them, and you can get this conceptually, you can get this intellectually and still not get it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pretty big shift to ask yourself to start analyzing things in a completely new way.
Well, that's the thing, is that you're asking yourself to not analyze anymore, and you're just, it's right, and it sounds funny because we're so identified with the way we think.
Yeah,
freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want. I give zero fucks. Right, we're so identified with our personalities. We're so identified with who we think we are. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I've never voted. I mean, that's how bound to fucking politics I am. I've never voted. Yeah. People, you know, that's irresponsible. No, I'd rather do something. I'd rather keep my power than give it to a politician. You know, and for a lot of years there was an air of irresponsibility behind that. But man, when these people are not talking to you on the television, that like politicians and news anchors and stuff like that, if you give yourself like a week break and you come back, oh my God, it is like, you're like, it's like you go to Thanksgiving and you're just around used car salesmen. It's like, why is everybody trying to sell me all this shit? It's like, it's crazy. So just taking the input out is going to help our chemical imbalance. When we're kids, what do? They like my. I know. You know, I got stuck in front of the TV a lot. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I was bad, or if I was this or that, or whatever, you know, we stick kids in front of the TV, and all it's doing is creating more fucking shit, more anxiety, more stuff for the. For our brains and bodies to figure out, more emotions that we're creating emotions that were created for us.
Yeah. Well, take me back a little farther. So what is your history? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. Both of my parents were alcoholics. My dad wasn't around a whole lot, and my mom beat the shit out of me. That was her way.
Yeah.
She was hit when she was a kid, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that I carried a lot of resentment for, because I do a lot of forgiving, you know, when it comes to meditation, because when you forgive the past, I mean, the past already happened. You can't go back and change it.
When you carry that shit around, it'll turn into cancer.
Well, and medically, yes. The way we think, the way we act, the way we think contributes a lot to our medical history, a lot to our diseases.
Absolutely.
But we don't treat any of our diseases like that. We don't even treat our mind diseases like that. We just want to fix them with chemicals. We're a very sick race. The human race is very, very sick right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to treat a mind like, hey, you got to think a different way. Oh, take this pill to do it. Right. We forgot what we are. We think we need masks to live. We think that the human body is what it is, just done evolving. It's just done. It's not going to be able to create the antibodies and the stuff that needs to overcome new strains of viruses and stuff like that. I mean, we literally forgot how stupid or how infinite and powerful we are.
Well, I mean, it certainly will happen. I think the issue with that is that that's a large scale thinking into the future kind of thought, because I mean, certainly people are, we're going to lose people as this process goes forward. A percentage of people is going to die. So I understand when people are trying to stop those deaths from happening. I get it, because we all have people that we care about. But at the same time, there is a level of chaos that comes about when we all think that because we're speaking the same language, that we understand each other when we say things. And that's not necessarily the case, because we're all carrying around our own context for what these words and phrases mean. And so you can't necessarily give the power of language over to people to say, well, you tell me what to do, because it's not going to translate to the same thing for all people. It's a tough situation. But also, in that vein, with growing up with alcoholic parents, I had an alcoholic father. He ended up getting himself clean, but there was a time, man, was there a time that really created a whirlwind of chaos in my house. It sometimes manifests itself as becoming a person who's very interested in controlling your own environment. How did that work for you?
Well, and it's funny that you say controlling your own environment, because that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to control our own environment. And we're making these laws that other people don't do the things that we don't want them to do. And it's just people are living their lives. And the very specific filters that we all, each and every one of us, look through, we don't understand what everybody else is doing. Right? We don't understand everybody else's ways and the way they phrase things and the way they do things. So we're trying to fix the outside by fixing the outside. Now, in theory, this sounds like, well, if I want to fix the outside, I want to try and fix the outside. But with human beings, we can't do it like that. We have to we have to, the things that we understand in ourselves are the things that we understand on the outside of us. So let me give you an example. Like when this COVID thing hit, I understood the power of the human body and its ability to stay healthy, its ability to heal, the power of source, connection, meditation, how it turns on your autonomic nervous system, right? So, and just that masks are silly, like all these protocols that we take, that they're silly, right? When that outside thing hit, I felt really, really good on the inside because I have an understanding of how powerful this human body is. Now, when the George Floyd thing happened, right? And it's not just about George Floyd, but when Black Lives Matter came up again, you know, I was a very like all lives matter person and stuff like that. And that forced me to look inward. Mm-hmm. I was watching an interview and I started to really just like feel like good about like everybody being equal, right? Just having this equality, just like I started to picture that type of world. And then some fear showed up in me, and it was fear of like losing this white guy status.
Yeah.
Like this subconscious white guy status that I didn't know I had. So that was, and I'm like, oh my God. I started actually like feeling that and looking into that and realizing like, you know what? I don't treat everybody equally.
It's funny the stuff you find that you're carrying around inside yourself without knowing it.
Right. And so, but looking at that is now I have that opportunity, like, and actually feeling that, like feeling the fear of losing the white guy's story. Because what is the white guy's story?
Yeah.
The white guy's story is, I mean, watch the news. Look at what they taught us in history.
Yeah.
Look at, I mean, just the movies and stuff like that. White guy history is like white guys are supreme over the rest of the world. And it's like, wow, that's in consciousness still.
Yeah.
That's something that, and I'm discovering that, I'm grateful that I'm aware of it in myself. But I'm discovering how deep that really, really runs. And I understand Black Lives Matter so much more than I did before, because it's like when you talk about Black Lives Matter, and this is it's what it means to me, that I'm facing and not looking in myself and looking in my fears and stuff. But when I think of Black Lives Matter, and you think about like the harassment and the way people look, the way people think. Now we all grew up in different areas. I grew up in an Italian neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was the early 80s, the late 70s, early 80s. And there was a lot of fucking racial shit, man. Absolutely, I grew up in that. And for a lot of years, I realized that I had just said, you know what? I don't want to think like that. And I repressed it. Right? Which is cool, because now I'm on the surface of, you know, I think this way, but I never fully understood the other way, like the programming part of it, that subconscious white guy culture.
Yeah.
Right? That white dominant male.
Oh, yeah, yeah, also, yeah.
I've also looked in the male culture, too, in myself, and been like, wow, I see things from my story that is not, I wouldn't want somebody treating me like that.
Yeah.
So it's our awareness. And when you were talking at the beginning of the conversation, you said a lot of things that whether they made you unhappy or whatever, but you found certain patterns and behaviors in yourself. And those are important to find. And that's those are important to find, because that's the stuff that subconscious programming that you may actually not know about. So in me, with Black Lives Matter, you know, I would say, you know what, dude, I'm not racist. I have black friends, but right. All lives matter.
Yeah.
Right. And that just sounds racist to say it, man. I'm like, wait a second. And just like, but being able to have that, to be able to face your fears, and this is where that depression comes in, and this is where that anxiety comes in. So if you're facing something, you realize a subconscious fear, like my subconscious fear of losing fucking white dominant male,
right?
Consciousness, right? If you can face that in yourself and you see that fear inside of yourself, then that's how you affect the outside of yourself. Because that subconscious programming that I saw as fear of losing a white dominant male status, now I'm aware of it. Now I don't have to add that back into the collective
right
anymore. Right? And I don't have to make myself wrong about it either. I don't have to make myself wrong about a thought that came up.
Yeah, you are not your thoughts.
Right. I don't have to make myself wrong about an emotion. It's something that I'm aware that will show up. I understand that it's a fear of losing a white male dominant type of consciousness. And I understand that I don't have to cater to that.
Right. Yeah.
Or you can give me a Xanax, right? the prescription writer, just like, here, dude, take some Xanax when you're around, people of other colors and races and cultures and stuff like that, and that'll do it too. Which they're right, but that's not going to fix the problem.
Right.
That's going to suppress something.
Right.
And, you know, and again, so culture on the outside, society on the outside is very much a reflection of what's going on the inside. Now, I happen to be a person that is okay with looking at that and speaking about, wow, there was a subconscious fear of losing a white male dominance. How do we get other people to recognize it? You know what I'm saying?
And well, you have to get people comfortable with the idea of being wrong about something and how that's not the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in the world to have... To have a let's say a quote unquote a bad thought. It's really a matter of who are you going to arrive as now. This is where you were, and acknowledge that, and not be afraid to say, yeah, I don't know, I fucked up, and not be afraid of failure, because honestly, that's how we learn things. But it comes right back again to that language thing. Those words mean different things when they hit different people's ears.
Right, because and think about it. I'm 43, so I my 43 years of consciousness, right? And it's infinite. But while I'm in this body, the 43 years of consciousness, all the stuff that I've seen, that I've thought, that I've gone through in my head. It's completely different than the person I walk by in the street. It's completely different than yours. It's completely different than everybody else's. And to understand that I have a fear inside of myself about certain things helps me understand that other people have those same fears.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make other people wrong for those fears either. See, fear, that's what fear does. Fear likes to blame. Fear likes to make other people wrong. So we're talking about racial tensions. That's fear, man.
Yeah.
It's just fear of being afraid of being fearful and not wanting to understand. But it's not that we don't understand the person on the outside of us. It's that we don't understand the way we feel about that.
Yes.
Like we have this feeling of like, oh, man, like oh, this person's wearing this thing or, you know, whatever it is, like. I don't get it. And like confused. It's like, well, here, just breathe for a second because nothing's actually happening. Right. when you understand that fear comes from inside of you, you're not being threatened. You're not being anything. It makes it a lot easier to face, because you're only facing yourself.
Yeah, but that's the scary part. The scary part is facing yourself.
Right, which is the thing that makes us turn on the television, which is the thing that makes us fucking drink, which is the thing that makes us smoke cigarettes, which is the thing that brings us to our addictions. So there we are again. I feel fear, and I don't want to feel fear. Hey, doctor, I got anxiety. Can you give me something? Now it makes sense.
Right. Yeah, looking for that external fix.
Right. So when I felt fear of losing white male dominant status, I could either distract myself or I could just sit in that fear and be like, wow, what the fuck is that? Like, what are you trying to live up to?
Yeah.
Subconsciously, there's a lot of white people.
Yeah.
Trying to live up to this thing that doesn't exist.
Yeah. We made it up.
Right? But we didn't make it. We're just in the consciousness of it.
Right.
So all of the actions that you've done, all of the things that you've taken, all of this, we can call them stupid things that we've said, whatever it is, you could forgive that right now because it was you were born into that consciousness and it's okay. And we're changing it. Like, it doesn't matter if you learned it at 43 or 15 or 65 years old. It doesn't matter. It's not about doing the right thing. It's just about facing that fear. Just being in that fear. Like, if you're afraid you're going to lose your job, sit in that fear for a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're afraid you're going to go broke, sit in that fear. Be okay with it. Hey, I'm not my fucking money. Right? If you're in fear I'm going to lose this relationship, maybe that's the relationship that you don't need to be in.
Right.
Right? Because true love isn't afraid to lose.
That's
true love says, I'm
so
going to love right now. I'm going to love right now, and that thing, I can always love it, whether it's in my, we'll call it possession.
Yep.
But whether it's in my presence or not, I can always love that thing.
So where do you start getting these tools? Because you it sounds like you come from kind of a chaotic mess. So where do you start putting these things into place for yourself? What was your, let's say, what was your first aha moment that you were going to have to handle this yourself?
The fact that I hated AA. I was an alcoholic myself. I was drinking like 25 little airplane bottles a day.
Oh, wow.
Of vodka. Smirnoff, yeah. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but if I average it out, it's about 25, and it's a lot. My body became dependent on it.
Yeah.
By the time I quit, I was having seizures, DTs, stuff like that. I probably made 10 trips to detox in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And in October of 2016, I had a trip to detox. They were like, yeah, you got maybe a couple weeks to live. If you make it past a couple weeks, it's not going to be much longer than that. And I left the hospital. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, and I didn't know what to do. I buried myself in work.
Yeah.
And I was eating like shit. I was eating like I had a couple weeks to live.
Right.
I was living like I had a couple weeks to live. Just being a, you know, just in fear, just in, like, I was feeling like a victim.
Yeah.
So about 13 months later, after I got out of the hospital, I kind of had this, because you ask, where do you get the tools? Well, you got to be honest with yourself. I was about to take a shower in November of 2017, and the shower was running. I was walking in the hallway past a full-length mirror. I was walking in my birthday suit, and I looked, and I stopped. In the mirror, I was naked. I'm like, wow. I felt like shit. I looked like shit. It felt horrible to look at myself. I was just like, wow, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then I ended up sitting there just crying for like hours. And I spent a couple of days just decompressing and crying and just letting go of some of the resentment and some of the, well, as much as I could, I guess.
Yeah, it's a process.
Right. And in that, in November, it was right around Thanksgiving that year in 2017, I kind of made a decision. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop chasing. I'm going to stop pretending. Well, yeah, I could eat the Snickers bar if I have that apple later. No, I'm just going to eat the apple. Right. I'm going to stop using my phone so much. I'm going to stop trying to look for so much advice on how to be me. I just stopped. I had a breakdown. I just wanted to stop spinning all the plates that were making meal first. And I did that. The tools, you already have the tools. It's basically, we need to unlearn the stuff that we learned, because we're so smart, we're so intelligent, we're so whatever, that we think that there's a way to get rid of this thing, like anxiety, or this way of feeling, right? Like we think that there's an actual way to do it, when it's like I said, it's an unlearning. The tools that it takes is being honest with yourself. Like I'm trying to think of like an analogy, something that'll be funny or whatever. I don't know if this one's gonna be funny, but if you're constantly lying to yourself, right? I know there's a positive attitude thing that we're very used to living by, right? Sure. We have an achiever thing in all of us, which is cool, right? It's like, oh, don't feel down, don't feel depressed, and then we go do the thing that makes us not feel depressed, but it's the equivalent of going to the bar and distracting yourself.
Right.
Right. So the thing, so the lie, when we lie to ourselves, it's like, oh, don't feel depressed. Like, okay, I look great, I'm not depressed anymore. Well, that's cool. And it works for a little bit. I've used that so many times. I've so many of my days like that. What happened was, as I still suppressed the thing and that thing is still there. Even though I could overcome it, that's overcoming something. Overcome it for the day, maybe a couple weeks or something like that. Maybe I only needed 5 minutes. The matter is that it's still there. And without actually facing it, without actually sitting in it, releasing it through your eyes, right, then it's still going to be there. And if it's still going to be there, then it's going to show up when you don't want it to. It's going to show up at the most inopportune time for you, because it's the most opportune time for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So by just like, here, if the tools, if you want the tools, turn off the TV. Just turn off the TV. There's tool number one. Tool number two, get in nature.
Yes.
Just walk without taking a fucking picture. Man, go for a walk. Tool number three, when you feel yourself thinking, right? When you feel yourself off on a tangent, we do this a lot. Your awareness is all in your head. Well, steal some of that awareness and put it in your body. Take a conscious breath. All of those things in our head, all of those thoughts in our head are not real. It's like if you take your thumb and you put it in front of your face, like, I'm going to stick myself in my eye with my thumb. It's a thought, but it doesn't have to be real.
Yes.
So those that thought that you have, it just let it go. Just let it go. Understand that it's not like we've spent a whole lot of time branding and identifying ourselves as this thing, right? If you think about Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. right? You can't think about Michael Jordan without that little Airman symbol, right?
Right.
The Jumpman symbol.
Yeah, yeah.
We've branded ourselves to like Michael Jordan is the basketball player, like. But here, he's consciousness. He's way more than that fucking basketball player.
Right. That's a thing he does. Like,
right.
he does that thing. That's a thing he does. But that's not who he is.
Right. So, and Michael Jordan knows that that's not who he is. Right. And you see athletes go through this all the time when they retire. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because they thought, right, or a beauty queen. Right, a beauty queen, she's in beauty queen her whole life, and then once pageant days are over, they don't know what to do.
Yes, or absolutely.
Even the guy retiring after working at his job for 20 years doesn't know what to do. We think we're that job. Well, that's going unconscious. That's being what we do and not what we are.
Yes.
So, and what we do is our input. What we do is we vote. What we do is we go to our jobs, and you're a lot more than that. And step four, tool number four would be just to sit in silence, whether it's called meditation or not, would be sit in silence and understand, like listen to that voice that's telling you what to do. Listen to that voice that's saying, hey, go to the fridge. Listen to that voice that's saying, hey, go send this email. Go send this text. Go do this. Go do this. Go make yourself better. Go, or that voice that's saying, oh, you should have done this. You should have done this. You should have done this. It's like that you'll realize that voice is just constantly arguing with reality.
Yes. You know, it's funny you brought that up, too. The one of the things that I've discovered over the course of this process of the past few months is an ability to be able to sit with myself, and why I couldn't sit with myself in silence before. I'm a pretty hyperactive dude by nature. I always got to be moving. I always got to be thinking. I'm stimulated. I have a hard time with silence. And I never thought that that was a problem, because it was very easy for me to fill silence. It's always easy. I'm a musician. I can listen to music. I can do all kinds of things. But sitting in silence, can't do it. So I started trying to do it. Just maybe a couple years ago, I had a guest on my podcast talking about meditation. I said, what's that about? And I sat down trying to meditate for 5 minutes, and I couldn't do it. And that made me examine what was going on there. That was step one. And then here we are, a couple of years later, I'm still trying to figure out how to meditate, and I'm realizing that I'm doing it wrong. I know what I should be doing, and I say
should voice.
You're right. You're right. Exactly. I know what I know what I would rather be doing.
Tell me what you are doing.
Yeah. So here's what I am doing. When I sit down to try to clear everything out, I'm a lot better at this now. I can do this for I can do this for 10 minutes without having a problem.
Could I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Where did you learn that you have to clear everything out?
Well, it's not a matter of clearing everything out. It's a matter of, I say clearing everything out because that's sort of an end result. But really what I'm actually doing is I am using that opportunity to acknowledge all of the things inside of me that are screaming for attention. So I'm not pushing them out. I'm bringing them forward so that I can listen to them, acknowledge them, and move forward without the anxiety that used to come with that screaming voice. You know, the screaming voice that you're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. You're not paying attention to the things that you're supposed to be paying attention to. You're a failure. You're fucking it all up. You know, all of those things that would usually come in, I decided instead of being afraid of those things or trying to push them away, let's invite them forward to speak one at a time, acknowledge it. And then if it's something that's worth exploring, I can explore that later, or I can even choose to explore it now. There's not really a rule for me on that, but it's a matter of exploring it with a level of, at least for me, with some level of not detachment, because I feel like that's wrong, but with a level of, let's say empathy. A level of empathy toward that, because that voice is coming in. It's saying these things. Well, I mean, when your own voice is telling you you're fucking things up, that's a voice of pain. That's a voice of your own self trying to tell you you're hurting yourself. And so it makes sense to me to ask, okay, in what way? In what way am I hurting myself, and what do you suggest that I could do differently? Talking to me, talking to myself, what could I do differently to feel differently about this? What would make me feel like I'm not fucking this whole thing up? What would make me feel like I am getting along more or less fine? Is that how I want to feel? If that's how I want to feel, how do I get myself there? And so I can usually only sit with that for about, I mean, I've gotten a lot better about it. The voices actually don't scream at me the way they used to, which tells me that I'm on the right track as far as how I want to feel. When I sit down to meditate now, I have a couple of voices, you know, and they're more or less polite, but they're no less mean.
Well, they're usually, like, if you listen to them long enough, they're usually the parents' voices and teacher voices. And
yeah.
Just the, it's like the little authority figure, the little cop, the little cop that you built in your head.
Yep.
And what I'd like to say, like, if when it's saying, when the voices are saying, yeah, you're going to fuck everything up, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, acknowledge them. That's the perfect way to go about it. I'm gonna give you kudos on that, because that's like, yeah, okay, so you're here, you exist, right? It's acknowledge it, empathy, which is understanding. Okay, cool. I understand that you're either here, or I understand that you're here, or that I don't need to understand why you're here. I understand that I don't need to understand, right? And it's gratitude that. Yeah, thank you for showing. Think about it like it's your 5-year-old inner child, right?
Yeah.
So a 5-year-old version of yourself. All of a sudden, now it's here because it trusts you enough to show up, and all you have to do is just let it be.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just let it be. Yeah, like the wall in the room that you're in. It doesn't matter the wall that you're looking at. It's just the wall. You're not doing anything for that wall to be there. Right, you're not fixing that wall in any way. You're not currently nailing anything. You're putting up a poster of, you know, I don't know. I'm going to say something, but I'm going to date myself. But you're not putting up your Cindy Crawford posters and shit. But,
right.
You know, it's just allowing that thing to actually exist, be there, and understand that you don't even need to understand that why it's there. And if it's telling you you're going to fuck something up, cool. I hope we do. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because the you're gonna fuck everything up. It has to be there.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh no, I'm positive, awesome. I could do the thing. Great. I love that. But there's a fucking up measurement. Like there's a thing inside of us that yeah, it could absolutely happen that way. So honoring that, saying, well, okay, so it's cool. If everything goes completely not according to plan, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because first of all, like most, penicillin was discovered on accident, I think. Like there's so many things that don't go according to plan, but the results are so much more infinite than our little minds can think.
But
so
that's the new discovery. That's right. The thing that I'm coming to. The thing that I'm coming to is that I have a problem with things that don't go as planned. That was right. That was the big discovery. So now right. Who am I going to be? Now that I know right. This.
So who's planning it?
Right.
Right. Now it might be this version of your a small story. Making these small plans, right?
Yeah.
But maybe let's just say it's, the plan is to make $20,000 a month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from your small story. When in reality, you should be making 200 grand a month. If you just get out of your own way, you could be making 200 grand a month, right? Or you're like we focus on one person. Oh, I need that girl. That girl, she's just gonna love me and blah blah blah. There's 7 billion fucking people on the planet.
Right.
What if you weren't trying to get that girl to love you? You're trying to get yourself to love you. Like you were trying to just like you look in the mirror, and I'm not talking about plastic surgery and stuff like that, but you internally feel good about what you're presenting, what you're like what you're carrying around with you, what you're not carrying around with you, just the way you feel about yourself. And then you attract, that girl and then, a thousand others because we're actually, and I don't want to call it working, but we're working on the right thing. We're letting our human selves evolve and like becoming a magnet for people rather than trying to change ourselves so those other people accept us. Right? It's about being you to the like accepting yourself. And I'm not talking about this version of yourself that you don't that you hate.
Yeah.
Like there's a like when I was drinking, there was at some point I had to say, you know what? This has just gotten way bigger than me.
Yeah.
This is, I have taken this thing and I have made it, I've given it all of my power and it's not going to fix me. It's not going to, there's whatever. There's an admission to that. But then there's the thing that once you realize that you can keep your power or that you've been giving away to the other thing or use it for, the other stuff that you actually want to accomplish. There's freedom in that.
Yeah.
There's freedom from that anxiety that doesn't let you be the thing that you want to be. I kind of got off track. I forgot exactly where I was going with that, but,
we've gone a lot of places here. It's feel like we've had a whirlwind of an intense conversation and barely scratched the surface on all of the information.
You're right, man. When you get into consciousness and when you get into all of this stuff that we're experiencing right now, I mean, we don't like the planet is awakening. This is a crazy time, and it's bigger than to me. It's bigger than what you see on the news. It's bigger than what the politicians think. It's bigger than the conspiracy theories or the not conspiracy theories or the masks or the no masks. And it's bigger than all this. It's like the universe is really showing humanity. It's like, here, look at here. You guys are fucking child sex traffickers. You guys are drug addicts. You guys are alcoholics. You guys are fucking, you guys don't take care of your bodies. You guys are just drenched in fear. And it's like the universe is just showing us all this stuff. You guys are racist.
Yeah.
Right? We're all human beings. And it's like,
right.
It's just showing us this ugliness. And humans, in the best way we know how, are trying to blame the politicians, and they're a right.
Right, but even them, I mean, a politician is a person, and being a politician is what they do. And we act surprised when they're human and they make mistakes, or they don't know things, or they're not the great authority that they're put out to be. It's like a lot of times they're just people making shit up as they go, just like everybody else. The problem is when they make shit up.
The
when
problem is that we elect them.
Yeah.
So the universe is saying, here, this is what you guys, this is what it is. This is everybody's inside manifested on the outside.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't pretend to know what's going to happen. But we do have an opportunity. We either have an opportunity to keep following the same path that we're on and giving all of our power to the collective power of nonsense. Right? Or what I see is that, you know, we can have people awakening to the bullshit, people awakening to the structure that worked for a while, but is no longer working.
Yeah.
Right. Like our economic structure, you see it starting to crumble. The way our governments are handled and controlled and the power that we see it all starting to crumble, right? So we can either keep trying to give our power away, thing that's crumbling, or people can take that power that they're giving away to the outside of themselves and turn and start realizing in little increments, like me, like you, like a lot of people that I've been talking to. Start realizing in little increments, wow, I've made a lot of things important that don't need to be important.
Yes.
I've hurt a lot of people, including myself. I've lied to people, including myself. At some point over the past couple of years, I realized that you can't lie to me. You could only lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're the one who has to go and carry that lie on. So the universe is showing here, you guys. You, if you think money's the answer, here's what money does: child trafficking, sex trafficking, shit like that. Here's what this does. It's not what that thing does. It's the importance that you put on it.
Yes.
Right. It's this need to be elite. This need for separation. This need for everything. So now we could either keep throwing money and throwing power at that, or as humanity awakens, and it's happened individually, we start looking inward and realizing all this stuff in ourselves that, wow, that's not important. Let's just start creating, right? There's no should-be's and could-have-been's and this and that. That's all in the past. Anything would-have, could-have, should-have, it's all bullshit machine stuff that's just arguing with reality. But when you start to understand your own emotions, your own shortcomings, your own, well, I'll call them mistakes. I don't think anything is a mistake anymore. But when you start to understand your own stuff, your own bullshit, the world of understanding opens up to you. The world of understanding opens up to the rest of the world. And it might not be all at once, but it's better than lying to ourselves, right? And the process might be slow, and the process might be a little bit painful. And I think we might see some ugly things in the short term.
Sure.
As control and power tries to hang on to itself and tries to gather more control and power, because that needs it from us. Here, what if we defunded the government and just quit paying taxes? It's just started figuring it out. I mean, there's so many things that we could actually do. We have to remember that these are elected officials. You're not going to tell me. You can ask me to do anything as an elected official, but there's so many things that are uncovering right? Like our unconsciousness. Oh, they'll do it for me. As long as I'm with this party, they'll do it for me. It's like that. You can't lie to yourself anymore. And that's kind of what's being uncovered here. And, you know, looking inward is going to be the thing that's going to change the outward view.
Yes. Because
you have to understand yourself before you understand anybody else. Now, you can have an academic knowledge. You can have intellect about it. But unless you really core understand yourself, and this is, like, there's you're not going to have everybody's experiences. But the core of understanding, it resides within each and every one of us.
Yes.
And when we access that individually, then you're going to start to see things change outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So we can elect this guy and elect that guy and elect this idiot and that. Then it's all like it's some scary shit. I saw a tweet from Joe Biden about the 4th of July. The most patriotic thing you could do is to wear a mask. You know how humane, how mentally ill that is? Like for a presidential candidate to tell a nation to cut off your oxygen supply.
Well,
ever since we were kids, and you might be a mask person. I didn't think about that. If you want to cut this part out, you can't.
No. I don't believe in cutting it out. I can say that I understand where that comes from. The only part that, because I'm not about to tell you you're right or you're wrong about it. The only part that I was going to bristle at just a bit was saying cutting off your oxygen supply, because I don't think that's necessarily what's happening. I would disagree with that, I'd say. I mean, surgeons wear masks in operating, and you know, there are ways to do it. I've worn a mask. I understand it. I understand that it does change your breathing for sure. But I also understand, you know, it's not sitting in your living room wearing a mask. That's ridiculous.
And so now you've seen people driving with masks, right?
Actually, no, I haven't. But yeah,
really?
that seems, well, I haven't really gone out that much. I do go out, you know, if I got to go somewhere, I'll go. That would be a level of, what are you doing? Why are you wearing a mask while you're driving? Well, you're in your car. You're by yourself.
Right.
What are you doing?
Here's the thing. And is that the masks, what they're being promoted as is culture. Like if you wear a mask, you're a hero. Okay. And like there's no scientific information on that, right? And if you don't wear a mask, then you're like an asshole, like you're reckless and stuff like that. So the actual science behind masks, you know, they really haven't done it. But I do know that, like, when a surgeon wears a mask, right, that's in a disinfected environment,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're only for short term,
right?
Right. That's in I can't think of the word right now. Not disinfected.
Sterile.
Sterile. Yes, a sterile environment. And then the N95 masks are good for breathing in, but when you breathe out, it's supposed to let the air escape. So those droplets that are not supposed to escape are escaping anyway. And then the cloth mask really doesn't do much. I was just reading something from the CDC on this. But my point is that obstructing, like making it a culture, making masks a culture, culture. Right? I was talking about a presidential candidate saying the most patriotic thing you can do is wear a mask. Right? That has nothing to do with our health. That's the promotion of this is a political party. If you're masked, you're going to vote for me. If you're not wearing a mask, you're probably going to vote for the other guy.
I completely agree with this culture thing. It should not be a culture thing. It's okay if it's a conversation, but let's not make it a culture thing.
Right. And so now, as a living, breathing human being, I haven't seen every animal on the planet, but I did. You know, I haven't seen any with masks on. Right, but I did see a couple animals laughing at people with masks on. Because they're like, yeah, dude, you don't need that. But my point with that is that it's not that hard to be a human being. It's not that hard to live here. It's not like to cut off and it's not cutting it off completely. But this is what ego likes to do. Right? If you're sitting in meditation and your ego's like, well, you got to get up and do this. You got to get up and do this. You got to get up and do this. It's putting an obstruction in front of the thing that you want, right? And at that point, you want to meditate, right? But it's trying to make you not meditate. It's putting an obstruction up.
Yeah.
Well, putting a mask in front of putting something in front of your breathing airway is an obstruction, right? So if you go from 100% down to, let's just say 60, or 40, or even 80 in some of these masks. Now, I've worn masks like to do like construction jobs and stuff like that. I was just standing a fence, and at that I put a T-shirt over my face, right, because I didn't want to breathe in all those chemicals. Mm-hmm. It just felt good. But whether it's doing something or not, I'm not sure. But putting an obstruction in front of you're cutting off the oxygen to a percentage of the oxygen to 100 trillion cells that are having 100,000 chemical reactions every second of every day. Man, I don't want to put nothing in the way of that anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Right? Who's controlling those reactions? Who's controlling all those chemical reactions? Right. There's a source. There's a thing beating our heart. There's a thing that's making all of these energy and animates us and stuff like that. We're all going to die, right? Or the mortality rate is 100%.
Of everybody. I mean, we are all going to die.
Right, we're all going to die, and universally. Like it's in God terms, and I know there's a whole bunch of different versions of God and stuff like that. Mine is just, you know, God is everything. God is consciousness. God is, you know, I'll even use the universe. Sure. I'll use source as a word to describe God. Because I in my drinking days I was an atheist. I really thought I was separate from all of this.
Yeah.
But when we understand that there's a lot more going on in the whole picture, right? It's not just this thing that's going to come through your nose or your mouth, right? There's 100,000 chemical reactions and 100 trillion cells going on. It's not something I want to obstruct. It's not something that I want to make part of my culture. It's not something that I want to make part of my everyday. Right, even social distancing. Social distancing. They isolate prisoners as a punishment. Right, isolation, social distancing. These are punishments. These are things that actually make us feel separate and less connected. And when we feel less connected and we feel separate, our immune systems actually weaken. And when we can't breathe in the proper amount of air for the proper amount of time, the thing that's keeping you healthy is going to weaken. And if it weakens to the point where, well, now I have this thing, well, now you're caught in the pharmaceutical system again. Now you're caught in the healthcare system. And now you need their pharmaceuticals so you can get rid of the thing that you wouldn't have had if you didn't have your mask on, if you were giving yourself 100% of your oxygen, right? Or giving yourself the ability to breathe, giving yourself that 100%, right? Along with taking care of your body, like eating right. And I'm not talking, you don't have to work out like The Rock or anything like that, but just go take the dog for a walk, do some exercise, you know, stuff like that. There's an understanding that the mask is a very, very, very silly thing that humans came up with for the illusion of safety. I don't want to shit on anybody's mask because if you believe that it works, here's the other thing. If you believe that it works, then you're going to be too anxious with it off. Right, if you're too anxious with it off, you're also weakening your immune system. Does that make sense? Because if you're putting your body in fight or flight, let me explain.
I hear what you're saying. But I think that there's a certain level of this that is above and beyond my own personal comfort is where I sit with it. I don't know what the people around me are going to experience, and I don't understand necessarily whether or not my breathing around a person who might be compromised could or could not hurt them. So for me, it's a level of erring on the side of caution. It's a temporary discomfort so that I'm not the cause of someone else's discomfort. Right. Like, because I'm not worried about me breathing in the virus and getting sick. I'm a lot less worried about that. I'm a little more concerned because I pretty well take care of myself. My immune system's pretty strong. And if I get it, I get it. And I'd find a way to make peace with it. But I wouldn't want to be a person who can carry it and live just fine and pass it to someone who can't. And so for me, I'm just more comfortable with the idea of taking a precaution for the sake of others.
I understand. And that's perfectly fine. And that's the way it's been sold to people is you're not protecting yourself, you're protecting others. Mm-hmm. And there's no science on that either.
Well, there is. My wife is a scientist. There is some science, and we can disagree, and that's okay, I'll just say that's where I'm at on it.
Yeah, that's cool. And here I mean some of my clients are like really heavy like on the mask. They're like, well, I can't believe that you don't believe in the mask. I'm like, well, there's nothing to believe in with no mask. Right, like if a human didn't invent the mask, there would be no such thing to believe in. Right, I would be counting on the greatest technology on the planet, which is my body.
Yeah.
Over the mask. Now, for me, there's healthy. When I see people wearing masks, I know that they're slowly weakening their immune system. It's like when I see people smoking cigarettes, I know that they're weakening their lungs. I know that they're weakening their immune systems. Okay, and when I see that person wearing the mask, I don't want to fight with that. I don't want to argue with that person, right? But there's a knowing inside of me, and there's plenty of science to back it and stuff like that. But it really appears that the masks are doing a lot more harm than good. Socially, I think the way we look at each other as human beings, I think that's the masks are detrimental to that. I think we stop seeing each other as human beings. I believe that breathing in your own carbon dioxide is poisonous and toxic. I've had to do it. I've gotten dizzy. You know, I've gotten nauseous and stuff from like wearing masks for too long and stuff. You know, that's my own personal experience. and it's cutting off when I'm not giving myself, my body, the best chance, its best chance, right? It's what I think versus my body's best chance. Right, so a mask would seem to make sense for me, but knowing that my body's best chance is to eat healthy, exercise, keep my mind right, and keep my immune system right, and they don't know exactly how stuff transfers. And I think we put a limitation on ourselves when we put these masks on, and I think it's a hindrance, and it's an unnecessary obstruction. And we're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah, for sure. I think the area that we can agree is that you definitely need to make sure your immune system is in good shape, and for that to happen, you've got to work it out. You got to expose it to stuff, and
like
you don't want to live in fear of anything.
Right. Well, and yes, that's now fear comes from not understanding something.
Yeah.
Is it, you get that? Like fear comes from not understanding anything. So if you find yourself if you find yourself in fear of something, right? We're like, oh, no, I'm not scared of that. Well, it's understanding that fear, which is the thing that releases that fear. But if you understand that, if you have an understanding of why I'm afraid of something, or that I am afraid of something, rather than just overachieving it, rather than just trying to overcome it, and that fear no longer exists, because you're the one who actually sat and took a look at it and just was with it. You know what I'm saying? You're the one who parented the inner child for that fear.
Oh, for sure.
So when that fear shows up, when that fear is triggered in real life, like let's just say you've sat with that fear in meditation for the past 3 days or whatever, and then all of a sudden that thing that would have triggered a panic attack or would have triggered this, you know, 2 weeks of depression or whatever it is, when that trigger shows up and causes that fear to show up, you don't react on that fear the way you used to, because now you understand it.
Yes.
You're like, oh, that was that thing that I was scared of, and here I am. I'm still alive through it. Right? And everything's still cool through it. And then we start to understand that. But understanding that type of fear, or understanding just your emotions in general, and not trying to be in the anxiety of trying to fix them all the time, is going to help boost your immune system. Just without you trying, like without, whether you wear a mask or not, it's going to help boost your immune system. Because you're taking your body out of fight or flight.
Yeah.
Right? When you're in fight or flight, your adrenaline, cortisol are being pumped to your arms and legs so you can get out of danger, right?
Yeah.
But when you're watching the news, you're also in fight or flight because, oh, my God, the world's coming to an end. But you're just sitting on your couch.
Right.
So to turn on your autonomic nervous system, right? Your autoimmune system. To turn that on would just be to simply get out of fight or flight, right? Which is the healing chemicals that we make are the love, the gratitude, the joy, stuff like that. So instantly being grateful for anything is actually going to turn on your autonomic nervous system. It's actually going to turn on your immune system.
Well,
even
I am
that here. That shows up, but
I am grateful that you took the time to have this incredible conversation with me today. And thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I appreciate having the conversation with you too. Yeah, and again, here, and I don't, I just want to real quick, I'm not a mask expert, okay?
well, neither am I.
There's, and here's the thing is that there's right now, I want to offer this, right now, there's a lot of power in I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, if you observe a lot of our human traits, right? If you watch the news, it's all about people who know, right? They're an expert, top expert on this, top that, okay? there's a lot of power in I don't know in silence and not being sold something, right? Because you're not being sold anything in silence unless you're trying to sell yourself something, which that happens, but you can,
yeah,
that too will pass. But I don't know. It also opens us up to opportunity and to like understanding a different perspective than we may have had before.
Yes.
See, my whole thing with the mask is like I healed my body. The organs in my body were dying. They gave me 2 weeks to live. I didn't accept the prognosis. I just didn't accept it. I'm like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. And then I realized that I can, this body was still around a year later. And then once I started getting healthy, I went to the doctor and I realized that I had, like, my body healed itself. So from going from 2 weeks to live to, wow, that's the best medical, like that's the best blood test I've seen. You know, what the doctor told me he was astounded. He was like, there's no way that the story that you told me was true. Because about 6 months after I started, I had that mirror, that moment in the mirror.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor and I wanted to see what my test results would come back in. You know, because the doctor, when in October of 2016, they told me that, yeah, you might have 2 weeks to live. You know, your kidneys, your liver, it's all shot, your pancreas. And then 6 months after I started getting healthy, I kind of just started listening to myself. I swore off everything, which was facing a lot of fear. But I swore off, you know, doctors in the healthcare system for that time being. I swore off AA. I'm like, screw this. I don't want to. I'm going to listen to me. And when I did that, I realized that the body does have the power to heal. And it doesn't take millions and trillions and billions of dollars. It doesn't take, it's so simple. It's so simple that, that nobody wants to do it. So, And that's just from my experience of the body healing itself, like knowing, like here, I know like how powerful this thing is, this technology is.
Yeah.
And I'm for me personally, knowing having gone through what I went through, I don't want to take any of that power away by giving just giving my body less of its required oxygen or less, you know, I don't want to obstruct that in any way. So like I said, I'm not a mask expert, but there's, I know how powerful this is.
Yeah.
And I would really rather not obstruct. And when I see, like, if I see, you know, I was overweight. And when I see overweight people struggling in these masks, I saw an old guy at Home Depot. They needed to get like the little cart for him. And he's sitting there just trying to, he's taking his mask down. They're like, I forgot what his name was. Like, oh, no, don't put your mask down. I'm like, oh my God, this poor guy can't breathe. Right. So they got into the little cart and stuff like that. You know, I talk to people and people are like, yeah, I can't, I get dizzy. I can't do this. I'm like, okay. So I have compassion for that too, you know, because the mind doesn't trust the body. So I have a lot of compassion for that, because that's the body and that's the mind in fear, and it looks to me that the mind in fear makes the body do things that make it not its best.
Right.
So that's my thing, man. So, but yeah, man, I really do appreciate, I appreciate this conversation with you. You have no idea how much I learned from other people.
Sure. So, I mean, that's all of us.
Yeah. And I think a lot more conversations like this, like here, you and I, there's a disagreement in what we think,
right?
What the mind tells us to our mouths to say. Right, but that's okay. You exist.
Yes.
You and everything you know exists. And that's beautiful. Like, if you didn't have that opinion, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's everything that I say exists, everything that you say exists, and they just exist in the same space right now.
Yeah. And look at this. And we had a conversation where we disagreed on something and nobody told the other person to go fuck themselves.
Right, and here, even if that happens, that there's healing in that too.
Sure, but of course there is.
The more conversations you actually bring to light, like, and have authenticity in them.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, people say, well, here, this is, and it's not just a Facebook post like "fuck you," put on your mask, or
right,
you know, you're an idiot or whatever. It's
right,
not just that. It's there's 90 minutes of, yeah, here, there's this thing. Here's the experience. And, you know, and then you have your years of consciousness. And when people understand that, wow, yeah, maybe I don't need tooth and nail. I don't need to fight people and shit like that. Like, here, you and I can go to dinner tonight. It's cool.
Yeah.
Right. Just one of us won't be wearing a mask.
Yeah. speaking the same language, but not saying the same things. That's right. A cause of a lot of disagreements. And there are worse things that can happen than disagreeing with someone. There are worse things. It's, you know, don't take it so personal that someone thinks a different thing than you. That's right. Just how I've decided to live.
And the thing that helps us, the thing that helps us get through any conversation that has any degree of difficulty or disagreement, think about, like, as you, when we go, think about this. It's our understanding.
Yeah.
Just our understanding of, yeah, that's a human being with an opinion, right? That's a human being with a heartbeat. The same thing that's beating my heartbeat, that's beating my heart, is beating that person's heart.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. Okay, cool. That can exist.
Well, thanks again.
And then we can understand each other a little more. Yes, you're welcome. Thank you.
And there you have it. Two people having a conversation, goes a little off the rails, and yet, even through disagreement, we're able to remain civil and have a good discourse with each other. And I'm really grateful for that. And if you want to get some more Neil in your life, you can always go to neilfirst.com. That's NEILFIRST.com. He's got his blog there. He's got videos. He's got coaching sessions. There's all kinds of stuff for you there. I'm going to be moving the store away from TeePublic because, honestly, I've heard your cries. The shipping is insane. You gotta order a bunch of stuff to make it worthwhile. I feel you. I feel you. But until next week, don't kill yourselves out there.